Hi, this is Kelly Reese, ODFW.
Hi, Kelly. We'll get started in just a minute. I'll give everyone time to log in.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Hey, Tammy. This is Todd Pierce, Willamette Valley Army Corps.
I'll go through by agency to make sure that we get proper attendance.
Okay.
Tammy, do you know if we'll be using the webinar today?
Chris, are you on the phone yet?
Yes, I did not plan on it, unless we need it.
Okay, it sounds like there's been a pause in the beeps. Let me check first. Aaron Kovalchuk, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. All right, so let's get started with attendance. Who do we have on the phone from ODFW?
This is Kelly Reese.
Jeff Zeller.
Ryan Kutcher.
This is Greg up on Marion Port Pinto.
Brett Boyd, Foster, South Centennial.
Okay, do we have anyone from BPA on?
Here's Daniel Spear.
Welcome. How about U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service?
Good morning, this is Mike Hudson.
Good morning, this is Ann Mullen.
Ann? Okay, I haven't got to Noah yet. How about Grand Ronde Tribe?
Good morning, Lauren Swabby.
Good morning, Lauren. All right, Noah Fisheries. We have Ann. Do we have Lance?
Melissa Jones on the phone as well. Hello.
Morning, Melissa.
Hey.
All right. How about we'll go to the core folks. Willamette Valley.
Hey, Tim. This is Chad Helms.
Good morning.
Pop Pierce.
Good morning, everyone. Doug Garlis. And you got Tim Ernst here from Detroit.
Excellent. Do we have anyone from Fish Field Unit?
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Bjorn Vanderloo.
Good morning, Bjorn.
Darren Gelly.
All right, how about Portland District Planning Bios?
Rachel Neuenhoff.
And do we have anyone from Water Management?
Hi, this is Mary Karen.
All right, and then we have Chris, and this is Tammy, for those that didn't know. Is there anyone else that I may have missed?
Dave Tucker.
Tessa Schaefer.
Yes. General NWP folks. All right, so Tucker and Tessa, that was you as well?
Yep.
Okay, is that everyone? Hopefully. All right, so this will be like how we used to have WFPOM meetings. Are there any changes to the agenda? Nothing. All right, so let's move on to, are we ready to approve the February meeting minutes? Has everyone had a chance to look at them, and are there any objections to approving them?
So, Tammy, this is Chris.
Down, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Ann. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would have Lance look at those, so I will run those by him because I wasn't there.
So I did receive comments from ODFW. Those will be incorporated. Over.
Okay. And those haven't been sent out yet?
Not as final minutes.
Okay. All right, so we'll hold off. Ann, you want Lance to review them before you sign off on them?
Yeah, I'll ask her to since she was present.
Okay. All right, so we'll just hold those until next month. All right, so moving on to action items then. The first one is a water quality update. It was Greg Taylor's action. So anyone from, or I guess, Ann, you could probably answer this.
I can chime in. So Greg sent me something yesterday. It's a slide that shows TDG levels below Cougar, right below Cougar, and then progressively downstream. And it's a graph that I need to send out, or I can send the report that it came out of, and I plan on doing that today.
All right, any comments on that?
I'd love to see that. This is Ann. Thank you.
All right, next on. Chris, do you have an update on that one?
Yeah, I'm pulling up his email right now. So this is in regards to the incident that happened in December where the unit went down and the gate didn't auto-open. And so the action was to look into what the solution would be, the future solution. And what was done was they adjusted the set point for the auto-open just above where it goes speed, no load. So that in theory, when both units go down, the auto-open gate should open to 1 foot. And that's the update.
All right. Any questions or comments?
Hey, Chris, what kind of flow would that be, Ms. Jeff?
That's a good question. I'd have to look at the rating table, and I'll try to pull it up while we continue.
The last action item is mine, but we will be discussing all those issues later on under number 5 on the agenda, so we can skip over that for right now. Moving on to updates, starting with the North Santiam and Marion Forks Hatchery.
So Ryan or Greg, I didn't know if you wanted to mention anything.
I'll just update winter steelhead counts, 23 we've seen here at Minto, and they have all been passed. Last count at Bennett I saw was 246, and it looks like we're going to go down and help put in Lower Bennett's camera on the 31st of March.
Hey, Greg, this is Bob Wertheimer. Hey, thank you for that update, and we're going to try and staff so we can be there as well. We'll talk about this under item 5 when we get to South Santiam, Lebanon, common issues. Thank you.
Perfect.
So I guess for Minto Fish Facility, we have that new maintenance line item. I just want to let folks know that Todd Pierce will be the point of contact in terms of who's going to be updating that monthly. The only thing I wanted to mention was the AWS, I guess, in that I don't recall how many AWS kits we have out of service, but right now I believe we're still in manual, in criteria, but in manual mode. And Greg, remember, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, we actually had the AWS, both the ladder gates and the pre-sort, that were all running in manual. It sounds like some cards or some internal stuff still needs to be worked on, but we, the pre-sorts have been fixed and they're running an auto. We have one gate out and the AWSs are still in manual. I would say with the flow levels now, we can control those manually and stay within the criteria, and it doesn't seem to be impacting. We're collecting fish almost, you know, every day, every other day. So
thanks, Greg. We also have the hopper operation item on there. I don't really have much of an update on that. I don't know if anyone else on the phone does.
Hey, Chris, this is Ryan. Kutcher, we submitted a job hazard analysis to, I think, you, Bob, and others. It sounds like you guys did an internal safety review. We got a J, I guess you guys call them AHAs. We got it back from Bob last week, I think, with no comments.
Yeah, Ryan, this is Bob. I think the one comment was it was approved. Excuse me.
Copy that. Thanks. And so that was really related to the hopper operation regarding the incident that occurred, I want to say 2018, where the hopper fell, damaged the truck, made a mess.
All right. Thanks.
Hold on 1 second, Tammy. Sorry about that. Ryan, there was a number of submittals with that one. I think the hopper is the one that actually had comments. Wasn't that the one that had embedded comments in it?
Bob, I'll go back and look again. I thought the only one in, with comments was the chain hoist for Foster. And then I think Brett replied to you earlier this week with some feedback that that one was actually out of date and he was going to get you an updated one.
Okay, I know you're tracking. I just, before I said it was approved on the record, I want to make sure I had the right one. There was a number of them. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, I'll go back and double check as well, but I think we're good.
All right, anything else for Minto? Or the North San Diem? Moving on to the South San Diem. Brett?
Yeah, thanks to the hatchery are just normal. Fish health's good. We're going to release our steelhead smolt the first and start that volitional release. As for Foster, we've trapped 11 winners so far. They've all been are being hauled up to the Riverbend release site. And they had the park shut down now, but we've been able to work with the park and just walk in and make contact with the host, and they'll unlock the gate for us so we can access the site. So kind of had a lull in returns, but we just had 7 yesterday, so hopefully things will start picking up. The site's still usable. The water is low, but it's deep enough where the pipe, I guess the water from the fish from the pipe into the rivers to still allow it to use. So we'll continue with that. We updated the Foster Adult Fish Facility maintenance sheet and kind of used the Minto format, and I forwarded that out. And so that's out there. And then we're just waiting to, I guess, for our crane training, and then we're going to work with the Foster maintenance staff to help us kind of develop some GHAs for those processes, the truck loading, and then also we're going to work on the pond entry because we're going to do some pressure washing over there. So they're just going to help us out with that to make sure we're meeting all the contract language and criteria. And other than that, things are going good.
So the last item on there is the Foster spill operations. Fenton et al. Is going to be putting together some sort of MOC to lay out operations for fish collection at the fish facility. So that's to come. Not sure when, but soon, hopefully.
Rachel, do you know when Fenton might provide that?
I don't have additional information on that. Last check in with him, he said if you have questions, to contact them directly.
And that's for spill, correct?
Yeah, that's doing something similar that we did last year, but earlier and throughout the season.
Thank you.
All right, anything else for the South San Diego? Moving on to the McKenzie.
Well, fish shelters get over here at McKenzie. Our fry did have a bout of colitis disease, but they're doing well now after some treatment. The last group of Springer smolts that we brought back from Leverd are doing well. They're going to be released probably next week. We'll try to take advantage of any increased flow in the river if that's ever going to happen, but I think it did a little bit over the last couple of days because our water supply, we gained a CFS in Cogswell Creek and the canal went up 0.2 feet. So yeah, it makes a difference, just this little bit of rain for our water supply. So we're stable in the water supply at the moment. You know, it goes up and down, but we're going to get these fish acclimated over a full month, and all of those groups, our three different release groups, all were acclimated for a month. So that's good. That did happen. And then we'll just see what the rest of the year brings us for the water supply. But other than that, things are doing well here.
Hey, Kurt, this is Bob.
Yep.
I just want to reiterate what I said in one of the messages I sent to you guys. Even when we have QA scheduled for events, when the conditions present themselves, or if you get the optimal conditions, even if the QA is not present, make the release. We trust you guys to always do what's in the best interest of the fish. And thank you for your work.
I appreciate that, Bob. Yeah, we'll take advantage if we get any increased flow. And but the way things have been, as everybody knows, it's dry everywhere. We just may have to just let them go and cross your fingers sometimes, you know. But anyway, I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. How about Cougar Fish Facility?
Yeah, so we were able to open the facility last week on the 16th. So far, we have caught and transported one bull trout, released it up in the reservoir. It was a tagged fish that had likely come down sometime over the winter. Other than that, everything so far is running smoothly at the facility, and that's all I have for you.
All right, anyone have any questions or comments for the McKenzie? Moving on to the Middle Fork then.
For the hatchery updates, I really don't have anything, kind of par with the other folks. Hatchery operations are going well, fish health, no issues. So kind of hatchery stuff wrapped up there. I don't know if the other guys mentioned for the hatchery operations, but our hatchery facilities are closed to the public with the COVID-19 issues. Hopefully that's not a surprise to anyone. And then with Dexter, the fish trap is still closed and should open middle of next month, or excuse me, middle of May. That's all I have for the Middle Fork.
Thanks, Ryan. How about Fall Creek?
Hi, guys. This is Doug Garlitz. Just like Cougar, we opened the Fall Creek Adult Fish Collection Facility on the 16th and have since transported four winter steelhead upstream and resident trout as well. We are currently updating the facility to correct deficiencies. We have replaced the dewatering flume with a more efficient dewatering flume, allowing for greater porosity, greater flexibility of flow configurations. We've also, contractor has replaced the braille motor for the crowding system with a stronger crowding motor that will allow for a more robust crowding. There's 66 CFS coming out of Fall Creek Dam, all of which is from the ladder entrance. The water supply retrofit is ongoing. The water supply seems to be sound currently for the fish facility. The contract will reinitiate after the fish hauling season has completed in October. And that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Anyone have any other questions for Fall Creek? Moving on to bull trout and Oregon chub, an update on those contracts. Anyone have an update?
I think I've been kind of assisting Greg with the working on the contract and stuff, and yeah, just kind of working through things and updating the IG and stuff like that. So moving forward.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. Moving on to Fitter Wagon research updates. Rachel.
I don't have too many updates to report. We're still moving forward. We're trying to support our researchers with the current situation. We don't know what this means for any projects that have field work, but we're going to proceed until informed otherwise, and we've been in touch with our researchers to make sure that their community or university policy will allow them to continue, and so far no red flags. I do have one update specific to one research project. As some of you know, we're looking at passage alternatives in the Middle Fork. And I recently had a data request or an input request from the researchers asking if some of the fish managers could provide input on what an outplanting strategy for wild fish would look like in the Middle Fork once reintroduction is on the horizon. Specifically how many and what that would look like. Currently we have, you know, some benchmarks with the HTMP outplant numbers, but they're really more curious about what wild fish outplants would look like. So if you have any thoughts or expertise or ideas or data that could inform what outplanting strategies might look like, I would highly encourage you to reach out to me directly so that I can pass that information to them.
Rachel, quick question. This is Ann. Is that structured decision-making researchers?
Yeah, so this is the, this part of it would be to inform the simulation modeling. So in places where we don't currently have data, particularly in this case, outplanting of wild fish in the Middle Fork, they're really leaning heavily on expert opinion to sort of bound those possibilities. So in this case, they're looking for outplanting strategies that would support a self-sustaining population rather than try a myriad of possible strategies. They want to know what looks reasonable from a fish manager standpoint.
And this, Rachel, this is Jeff. This is post some kind of downstream migration facility being built?
Yeah, so this, yeah, this would be looking at different passage alternatives. So I think some of you have access to the approaches considered in all the workshops. They're interested specifically in those outplanting strategies that might be associated with a passage alternative. And if it's of interest to people or you need more information, I can give you our master spreadsheet of all the approaches that the agency submitted, so you can dive deeper if you want.
I guess I would say on that front that we are currently, NIMS is working with ODFW on reintroduction documents and hope to finish them during this year. Middle Fork might not have been, it's not the first one and it might not be the second one, but we plan to release them one basin at a time, initially for core comment and then broader, core and tribes, I'm sorry, and then broader. So I feel like it fits in with that work, Rachel, and I'd be happy to talk to you about it offline from this meeting. And also, as Jeff said, consider it as tied always to some kind of downstream passage. But in the short run, they might just look at, perhaps people could agree or disagree with this, on how Fall Creek has basically built a set of now NOR returns from all HOR outplanting and think about that as a scenario that certainly fits here. I know there's more than one, place to outplant above Dexter, but that's a thought.
Yeah, so they'll be looking at that one. That's sort of their reference case, but it doesn't quite cover the spectrum of approaches proposed at this point. So if you and I can talk about this offline, I would greatly appreciate it. That would be helpful. Thanks, Ben.
Sounds good.
All right, any more questions for Rachel? Chris, do you want to just provide a brief update as to where the juvenile release pipe is, what you've done?
Yeah, so I will be putting something together to take to the Willamette Fish Facility Design Work Group, which is in early April. I don't know the exact date. But that's all I have, really, at this time.
All right. How about any water quality?
I mean, this pod, what is that exactly?
So, currently there's discussion about looking at juvenile releases at Minto and what that would look like in the future. There's currently a pipe that we have that needs to go through some sort of review, whether it's engineering or an assessment of the need of the pipe. And so it's kind of at the initial stage in terms of what path forward would look like with that. But it's just a pipe for releasing juveniles at this time in terms of how we release fish at Minto.
Did we have anyone from water management join us? Chris, do you have any updates on water quality as well?
No updates.
Actually, this is Mary Karen. Sorry, I was hitting my mute button. This is Mary Karen. I'm here.
Great, Mary Karen. I'm sorry, I forgot that you had checked in. Do you go ahead and provide the water quality and flow update?
I'm not sure what that is, actually. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I can chime in. The point of the flow update at this time is a kind of brief from our flow management team meetings that we've been having. And the bios are meeting again today to discuss flows in the Sanium, but what's occurred thus far is flows currently on the North Sanium and South Sanium are at 1,200 CFS, which is of significance because it's below typical biop targets due to the dry weather that we're currently having, and that's all I have.
Yeah, one small update to that, Chris, that may not have received, but it relates back to the count that Greg mentioned at Upper Bennett, that there's a large number of steelhead in the Bennett, and so I know we want to hold that. I'm sorry, independence in the North Sanium, we want to hold that 1,200 as the minimum currently, not dip below it. And I think that I saw from Elise that there were also, they had to go out and look at Wiley Creek's mouth to see how the 1,200 was keeping it watered up for steelhead that would go up there. It sounded like it was best to hold it at 1,200 CFS as well, but we'll hear more about that, I think, next week on the next call. The calls are going to be a little more frequent at the beginning of the season and then hopefully just go to monthly. Although it is going to be likely a drought year, so you never know.
Thank you.
All right, how about a pinniped update? Kelly, do you have one?
Yeah. I do. I'm pulling a Mary Karen right now. Got good company. So I received an email this morning from the fellow who leads the monitoring. And right now they have observers at the falls. They're not out in boats. They have several land-based areas. Yesterday they spotted one California sea lion around the falls area. And recently they also had a Steller sea lion in the area. He commented that a lot of the animals are they've seen a few animals coming up the river recently and then heading back downstream into the main stem Columbia, and apparently that's
normal behavior with low numbers of spring chinook going over the falls. That's what I have. Any questions?
Hey, Kelly, this is Bob. Do you know if there are going to be California sea lion removals occurring this spring at Willamette Falls?
I don't know the answer. I can follow up.
Thank you very much.
All right. How about BPA updates?
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. All right, moving on to the HGMP biop terms and conditions. So, like I think we said last month, these will be on the agenda just to provide regular updates. There may not be an update on each and every one of them every month, but if there is, they're here. So the first one is already included in the hatchery production contracts, so it's grayed out, so we don't have to talk about it every month. Use of natural origin broodstock is probably something that we'll discuss later in the year if we reach those triggers that will allow us to do that. So moving on to Bennett counts, that's with ODFW at both Bennett Dams doing the fish counting. Are there any updates you guys would like to provide?
This is Ryan. No update other than Greg mentioned earlier that the lower Bennett trap and monitoring system is going in, I think this week. So other than that, business as usual at Bennett.
It's going in on the 31st.
Perfect. Thanks, Greg.
Yes, thank you. All right, Lebanon counts. Bob, did you want to give a brief on this?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you. So we met with the City of Albany, and NOAA, Lance was on there on 11 March. We viewed the site. We've got some issues there. The first thing we're doing is we're working an MOU, MOA, with the City of Albany, Jeff Kinney, and setting up so we have access both the north and south ladders. Right now what we're doing is we're putting together basically the core, as you probably all well aware, likes to do alternative studies. So we're looking at all the potential ways we can get in there and count fish both in the near term this year as well as the long term. Near term this year, COVID-19 has affected our ability a little bit here, but we haven't given up the possibility because we've got a number of underwater camera systems that we use here at Bonneville that we could deploy in both the north and south fish ladder to try and get a good profile of fish as they pass the upper weir so we could get a look at whether they're clipped or unclipped. So we haven't given up hope on this year. We're working on it. The first thing is to get the MOU in place, and we hope to have that in place in the near term. In terms of longer term, we're looking at potentially, all the alternatives. We don't look at costs. We just look at the alternatives, potentially a count window. So we could do underwater video like we typically do with the projects here in the Columbia. We looked at the Vacky River Watchers system that basically it's kind of like a box you put into the ladder. You funnel fish into the box as they approach the upper weir. We're looking at floating weir systems. And then we've worked with BART as well. Worked with BART before at Upper Bennett. So we've looked at the system that's deployed there. He gave a great PowerPoint presentation. I'd like to thank ODF&W and BART for that, for how the system is deployed there. And it may be a system kind of similar to that we have in the Bennett's, where you've got basically guidance to a box with an underwater video in it. Looking at potentially flashboards and other things as well that are done for fish counting. So we're looking at all the alternatives. We've got short and near term. We haven't given up on this year. And we're excited by this work. It's a little more frustrating given our current conditions, but we know we're going to get in there because we want to make sure we execute on this. Any questions? Hey,
Thank you.
Bob, this is Kelly. I recognize this year is this year. Do you have a, like with your alternative, are you looking at alternatives to be in place for next year? So you would be monitoring actively next year for the long term, or is that, what's the timing of your alternative analysis and implementation?
Kelly, I'm an optimist, and I think we can be in there next year, and that's my goal, is to make sure we've got the system developed and in place next year. This is many things, but it's not rocket science. We've done this before. We do Fish Council in the Columbia, my office, my group. We've got people that are great at video review for complex numbers of species. So we think we can get in there and execute. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
And just for everyone's awareness, when we had talked to Lance, he had indicated that he would be willing to, and it has to be more of a group decision, not just NOAA Fisheries, but that he was willing to consider us not doing the downstream spawning surveys if it meant that we could use that funding to try and get the equipment we need to get the Lebanon counts up and running as soon as possible, and definitely by next spring.
Did you guys talk about the need to have a relationship then for a while, develop a relationship between those counts at Lebanon and the spawning ground survey? There's some overlap in those?
Lance seemed pretty confident, and I think this is probably a conversation we need to have when he is available, but it's something just for you guys to think about now.
Tammy, when you say downstream, you mean downstream of the dam? Or down, I'm sorry, downstream of Foster or downstream of Lebanon Dam? Or?
Downstream of, well, the spawning surveys that we did last year in the South Sand Yam, which was downstream of Foster, and whatever reaches we were required to do. Which Bob could probably speak to since his group did the QA on those. If he's not on mute.
I am on mute, excuse me. So specifically, I think what Tammy's speaking to is the fact that in lieu of spawning surveys below Foster, that the counts at Lebanon themselves would be seen as meeting the terms and condition of the biop. Is that the specific question?
Well, Kelly was asking if there was a relationship between Lebanon with counts and the spawning survey data.
I mean, I could do an analysis, but I haven't quite gone to that depth yet. I was more focused on implementing counts at Lebanon. Over.
So this is Ann again. My question would be, so this is the full suite of surveys below Foster. Is this a one-year thing that Lance was considering because of the, you know, surprise element that there wasn't a window to just easily deploy a camera at Lebanon? Or is this, just trying to understand what you guys thought he was offering, because I haven't heard about this.
So what our conversation with Lance was that we can, so it's without the window there, it's going to be a little more costly and time-consuming to figure out how to get these counts out of Lebanon. And we are willing to do that. It's not that we're not willing to do it. But given the way the budgets are, what I was concerned about was if we can't do counts at Lebanon, we could potentially do the downstream spawning surveys, but we won't have the funding readily available to get the equipment that we would then need to make sure we could do counts for next spring or even later this summer. And Lance seemed at that time to be willing, and I don't like speaking for other people, but at the time, the impression I got was that he was willing to allow us to forego the spawning surveys in the South Sand Yam, recognizing that money and time would be used to develop the counting system for the dam, and that we would have it up for next year. So it may be 1 year without spawning surveys, and maybe only partial counts or no counts, but that next year we would have counts in place.
Okay, so it sounds like we just need to reconvene that subgroup with Lance.
Can I jump into and back up a little bit? This is Melissa. Bob, is there any way I can get looped into the alternatives analysis that's going on at Lebanon?
Yeah, of course, yes, you can. We're at the early stages right now, but of course we will loop you in.
Okay, I just wanted to voice that. Thank you.
Okay, so back to the question of skipping an entire year for any kind of count. That doesn't seem like a wise thing to do just for continuity of the data, or in a year where we're going to have some really kind of difficult decisions to be making. So let's rethink that, and maybe we'll bring it up in other calls and then get back to this group next month.
We can certainly do it. I can ask Lance when he's available, and we can do a special FPOM call to make sure that we've talked through this. Because
Tim, I want to understand, you were saying that taking the money from spawner surveys for this year would allow you to get Lebanon Dam counts up and running for next year, and otherwise, what are the alternatives from your financial perspective?
So from my perspective, right now my budget, there's not a lot of money in the district to do what hasn't already been put into the budget request. So spawning surveys, we're in there. We have money for spawning surveys, but then we were going to, Lieberg, rather than doing spawning surveys in the McKenzie, we would be doing the counts. And the way the HGMP terms and conditions are written, and from Lance's previous comments at FPOM meetings, he had indicated that counts were a higher priority than spawning surveys, and if we could do counts, then we wouldn't need to do spawning surveys. And so what we were saying is, okay, well, we will need time and equipment. We will have to get different equipment than what we were expecting to be able to do the counts at Lebanon. And depending upon what those costs will be, if we are doing the spawning surveys, we may or may not have the additional funding to purchase special cameras or put in whatever it is Bob comes up with to make sure that we can see the fish clearly and count them. Lance had said, and so really it would be better if we have a list of alternatives from Bob so that we can see what are we dealing with, what are the costs, and what realistically do we feel we need to cut. Maybe we won't need to cut spawning surveys, but if we do, in order to purchase and set up and be prepared for next year for fish counts, that is a conversation we need to have as a region.
So aren't these two possibly different fiscal years? Like, wouldn't you be able to spend the money you had planned to spend for spawning surveys for fiscal year 20, and then fiscal year 21 would be where it sounds like that's an alternative process, the Lebanon count solution would land in the next fiscal year?
Hey, Tammy, can I answer this one?
Sure.
So the issue is some of the systems we're looking at are pretty cost prohibitive. Because if we're going to go in there and this is going to be a long-term solution, we want to make sure there's a return on investment. We can get a good system in there that doesn't require a lot of user interface. So the more automated and the better the system we can get in there, the more it's going to cost. And so some of my alternatives are going to have a number of zeros associated with them in order to do it right. And that's what we need to work through as a group. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm still wondering if it's two different fiscal years, though, Bob.
It could be, but I might need the money from both.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, if there had been a window in that ladder, this is something that we felt that we could easily set up this year, but with no window, it definitely has thrown us a bit of a curveball. So I believe we need to, in order to get the spawning survey contract awarded, we need to be working on that in early April. So how about we try and have a call maybe next week with Lance and get his understanding, what he was thinking, and then we can kind of come up with a recommended path forward.
That sounds good, and maybe Bob, you could tell, does that give you a sense of that range of zeros that you could bring to a call like that?
Oh, yeah, yes, ma'am. I'll do my best.
Yeah, it'll be a rough idea of alternatives, maybe not as fleshed out as we'd normally like. Okay.
I wrote that one down, Tammy.
Excellent. Between the two of us, we should be able to get it. All right. So then, Bob, do you want to give an update as to where you are with Liebert counts?
So I'm working with Jeff, and since he's on the phone, this is wonderful. We just need to get up there and meet there. We've got somebody in the valley that can be there basically any day that it can be arranged. We've got to go through the protocols in order to download to make sure, and working with EWEB and ODFW, that there's an arrangement in place. We're following protocols. We know what we're doing. We have the people and staff set up to do the review. We just need to get up there and set a date, and we can staff that at EWEB and ODFW's convenience.
Yeah, I'm pretty flexible right now, Bob, so let me know when. And the individual, we probably shouldn't have a big meeting. Just have a, you know, one person come on down, and we can, one or two, and we can lay out the whole program out there, run you through it, maybe set up a protocol for us getting the downloads back up to you by mail or FTP or something.
And thank you for that, Jeff. Yeah, we're very sensitive to COVID-19, and we will have two maximum. And so let's work offline on a range of dates that we can get up there, because we'd like to go get set up and work with you on protocols.
Okay. Yeah, just send me some available dates that you guys have, and we'll work with them.
Sounds good, Jeff.
So this is just counting fish. This isn't the sorter, which will be next, but just channeling Lance. Could you guys give us a little meeting summary afterwards?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to reducing PFAS in the McKenzie River. So from the Corps' perspective, we are agreeable with ODFW building the sorter, and we will work on a contract modification to accommodate the usage fee for that. So Jeff, do you want to provide an update as to where you guys are in the construction?
Sure. We met with EWEB on the original design that we had. That design looked like it was going to have to go through some pretty rigorous FERC review, and that process appeared to be something outside of the time period we needed to get this thing running, 6 months to a year. So was the FERC review process potentially. So we backed off and went to a land-based system instead, where the steep pass actually comes out of the, is actually not connected to the top of the fish ladder. We have a weir that directs the fish to the, it's a removable weir, one of those kind of pipe fences that you guys probably have seen, and directs the fish to the mouth of the steep pass, and then the steep pass goes up onto land, onto a platform of some sort. The fish go down a sorting table, and our the default is for the fish to go right into the pipe that goes back to the river. And if we happen to spot a hatchery fish, there'll be a manual sort that will put the fish into a pipe that goes to a fish truck. So our engineering folks are coming up with designs right now for the whole contraption, and our screen shop is on I guess waiting for the designs to get started on this thing. So I asked Ryan McCormick, our engineer, yesterday if he still had confidence that we could get it in by the end of May, and he said yes. So we're moving forward with it. And I'm conscious.
Thank you, Jeff. Hey, Jeff. This is Melissa again. Can I get updated design information on that?
Sure. And when we get, Ryan's going to have some designs out, I hope, early next week, and we'll get those to you as soon as we get them out. And it's basically the same design that was on the pontoon boat, but it's land-based this time. That's what I've got.
Thank you, Jeff. Any other questions for Jeff? All right. Next one is improving the broodstock holding at Willamette Hatchery. This continues to be in our budget submission. We are also going to be looking at developing a charter and having a PDT look at this, which allows us to break a new pond up into a little bit more manageable pieces that have, hopefully, a higher likelihood of getting funding. So that's our plan moving forward there. Analyze the steelhead genetics, that's ODFW. Do you guys want to provide an update on that, if you have one?
Now, this is Ryan. We don't have an update at this point, but that is something that's in the planning. I can maybe do the update next week.
Okay. And is that the same for 5.9 as well?
Yeah, my understanding is the results of 5.8 would inform 5.9.
Okay. All right, assess genetic pedigree of Chinook. So the North Santiam has been completed, and Ian Chain, I believe, is looking at CRFM funding for the other three sub-basins. After that, this is something that we would include in the O&M budget for every 5 years to have samples analyzed. Assess salmon spawning above federal dams. So this one is only for Dexter and Cougar, and we are looking at the potential of doing that this year, and if we don't get this implemented this year, we should be able to next year.
Sorry, could you, just a second, Tammy, on 510, so CRFM is a possibility for 2020, CRFM funds?
That is what I had last read. Rachel, do you have any more on that?
Yeah, so to my knowledge, they're still working it out internally, but we're trying to figure out ways to make that work. I don't have anything beyond what Tammy has indicated, just that discussions are ongoing on how to make it work.
Okay, and then, sorry, yeah. Thank you both. The STEM funding, the federal dam, I was still thinking about previous ones. You could just repeat what you said on that.
For the spawning surveys above federal dam? Is that the one, Ann?
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
Yeah. So we are working on looking at if we can do Dexter and Cougar this year, and if not, then go ahead.
I'm sorry, Tammy. Go ahead.
No, you can go, Rachel. It's fine.
Okay. I just, before we go too far, I forgot for a moment. I think there is... Well, I know that there is a proposal in the works that applies to research that would get, I believe it's pedigree above Fall Creek. So that one has a bit more certainty.
Okay. I know the pedigree above Cougar was one that Lance had wanted prioritized as well.
Yeah, I think the Fall Creek one fell out because it had a direct application to passage research. So I know that that's one they're actively trying to move forward to the next steps. I don't know what the timeline is for that to drop, but Rich Pyskowski would be the lead on that.
Okay, great. Anything else about pedigree? Okay, now moving moving on to cloning surveys above dams. Like I said, we'll try and get it done this year. It might not be possible, but we are looking at next year for Dexter and Cougar. Any questions on that? All right, the next one is the outplanting above federal dams. And I believe this is potentially looking at new outplanting sites or improving outplanting sites. Chris, do you have any update on that?
I do not, only that that we're working the South Sandham issue currently with the Riverbend site, but other than that, no new information.
All right, we may need to have just kind of a broader discussion as to what is expected from that particular term and condition. I don't have it in front of me to look at right now, but I'm sure it has a little bit more detail than this one line. And then the last two are the database that Oregon has that I believe we're in discussion still. I know Rich was talking with ODFW, and Rachel, maybe you have. Has there been any movement on that discussion?
My knowledge, so the database, the carcass survey data was sent. It was a pretty large file, so we had to, it was tricky to get. It took us a while, but we have that now, and now we're working on ways that we can build a more centralized repository for that, and we've been talking to our library to see what options are available, because of course our sharing is pretty, our digital sharing anyway, is pretty restricted due to security policy. So we're still actively working through that. Rich might have a better update than me, but that's my last knowledge.
All right. Thank you. And then the three-year report for NIMS isn't due until 2022. Any comments or questions on any of the terms and conditions? Okay, moving on to the production contracts. This August, we will have the final option year for the Willamette Hatcheries contract, and then that means we'll have a new contract in place by August of calendar year 21. There may be some changes to that as we start to look at PWSs. I know Bob would like some of those things a little easier to administer, so we'll have those discussions with ODFW as the time comes. And then we have the new trout production contract, which we hope to have awarded in September. And I believe last month I said that we were looking at including the Coal Rivers trout into that contract. And after further investigation as to what that would mean, we are not going to include the Coal Rivers trout in the trout production contract. So that will just be Willamette Valley trout production. Coal Rivers trout will stay with the Coal Rivers contract. Any questions on that? Hopefully that makes it a little bit easier for ODFW down at Coal Rivers. All right, moving on to coordination and notification forms. Chris, turn it over to you.
Yeah, so all these that are listed on the agenda are ones that we've discussed at prior meetings. However, I did fail to add a couple in regards to the flow changes that were made in the North and South Sandham, where we're holding both systems at 1200 CFS. So I will just take note of that, and they'll be incorporated into the notes. And if there's any questions in regards to the prior memos, feel free to chime in.
Yeah, Chris, I was wondering, or Mary, I'm getting a lot of questions over here. Do you guys think that Green Peter will be full this year?
I do not know. I don't think anyone knows. Mary Karen, okay. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it's really too soon to tell. I mean, there's a lot of spring left, so I don't know. I mean, we have modeling, but I mean, it's so, we're just trending so dry right now, but we just need spring rain.
Right, copy. Okay, well, thank you.
That's all
my money would be on it, not to rain.
And that's not very optimistic.
I know, and you should have heard me at the flow call. I was super optimistic that there was going to be a big system coming in this week, but so far, a little bit of hail, a little bit of drizzle, one little shower. I'm disappointed, even though it isn't fun to sit at home and look out at the gray sky either.
We got 4 inches of snow at Marion Forks last night.
Cool.
Yeah, I did.
Hey, this is Doug. We got some down here, too. In the South Willamette Valley, in the foothills, probably 4 inches.
And it was really wet.
Now we just need it not to melt. Not for a while.
I think it's almost gone already.
All right, well, on that cheerful note, we can move on to the fish operations plan. Chris, you have an update on that?
Yeah, the only item listed is the monthly reporting that's in the WFOP. Myself and others are working on putting that together. The information's out there, just figuring out the best way to convey the information. So, that's all I have.
All right, any questions or comments on the WFOP before we move on to task groups?
Hey, Chris, could you let me know if there's a record of the request to change still operations at Big Cliff in there already? I know it's been a few years since we last asked for it, but I don't know if it ever was completed or if you need something else. Let me know.
Yeah, no, it's in there. It's currently in there. In terms of spill and spreading spill? Or is it something
else? Exactly, thank you.
Okay.
And also, there's a station order. We're doing that, so just to let you know.
That's awesome. I appreciate that.
All right, moving on to test group and PDT updates. So we have David Tucker and Tessa Shaker on the phone, and they are going to provide in future months. There's maybe not a whole lot to provide this time, but I'll let them speak to it. Safety and environmental corrections, and this is as a result of the 2018 inspections that showed several deficiencies at the hatcheries. So, David or Tessa, do you want to introduce yourselves and let people know what you're doing? Or not? Maybe they dropped off the phone. All right, well, the idea is we now have a PDT that will be looking at those, the safety and environmental inspection reports, things like handrails and electrical concerns, containment, secondary containment issues, all of those. We will be looking at how to address them in a logical manner. ODFW has addressed many of them that were their responsibility. We will be continuing to have those discussions with ODFW as far as what structural needs are still out there. For the findings that were more like reports and things that would be submittals under the contract, Bob will be working with ODFW to make sure that all of that paperwork is submitted appropriately. Are there any questions on that? All right, the next one is asbestos abatement. Right now, we still anticipate that the contractor will be getting out in April to Marion Forks to do asbestos abatement. They're doing surveys at almost all of the facilities, and then abatement at, Chris, you'll have to help me. I know I just reported on it. Marion Forks and...
I think it's Willamette.
Yeah, we had talked to Dave Crocker and Jessica yesterday about the scheduling, and they said that, yes, we're still good at Marion Forks in April.
Yeah, we'd like to see that get done.
Marion Forks pipe and valve. So we had small projects team working on installing the new valves in the pipe. We had to get pipe inspection, which was not possible due to the corroded nature of the pipe. What we have asked small projects team to look at now is to abandon the pipe in place, and a potential option to abandon the pipe in place and install a new pipe above ground that has the valves that we need in it and is accessible and not covered in asbestos. So we're still looking at some alternatives there. And then the McKenzie Water Supply, there has been a PM assigned to that, and he is going to be looking at what has been done in the past, and then by the end of the fiscal year, the goal is to have at least a rough idea of what some potential alternatives are, and we will have discussions with all of you as to which would be the best path forward. Things that could be on there, and I'm not an engineer, so this is just stuff that I was like, oh, well, potentially we could build, drill a well. We use wells at some of our other hatcheries, but then the concerns are, is that the appropriate water for the McKenzie hatchery? And so those are the kinds of discussions we'll have to have. Maybe we can pump from the river, maybe not. So by the end of the fiscal year, hopefully we'll have something that we can actually sit down and talk to you guys about. Chris, do you have anything to add to any of those?
I do not.
Bob, do you have anything to add to any of those?
Not really, Tammy. Just the one thing is, now that we have a PM, we can kind of make sure the coordination with EWEB that's going on is that all ODF&W, the Corps, and EWEB are all aligned on what's going on with the canal, and then we can factor in our potential alternatives to alleviate the water supply issues at the McKenzie. Over.
All right, does anyone have any questions on any of those? All right, is there anything anyone would like to talk about that hasn't been on the agenda that maybe you thought of as we were going through?
Hey guys, this is Doug Garlitz. I feel it prudent to let everyone know, after discussing the COVID thing and staffing plans, that as of today, we do plan to operate Fall Creek and Cougar next week on Monday and Thursday with the skeleton crew. That may change by afternoon, but that's what I know right now. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. This is Kelly. Just following up on the pinniped, I received an email following Bob's question, and COVID is affecting the ability to trap staff. So because of social distancing requirements, they're actually not trapping staff. Even saying that, they haven't had any California sea lions using the traps yet or even being around long enough to haul out. But COVID's affecting that as well.
Thankfully, we've had a lot of steelheaded come up already. And thankful to all people doing their work out there, even under these circumstances.
Yeah, thank you for that update, and sincerely appreciate it.
All right, if nobody has anything else, thank you everyone for calling in. Stay healthy and stay safe, and we look for an invite for a call next week to discuss Lebanon. Everyone have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim.